And we're potentially having I have to look into it more, Bible study for ladies. Someone approached me about that, so potentially I'll let you know about that. I think that would be good if we could do that. Amen. The Lord has dropped some things in my spirit for you guys today, and I will share. Go ahead and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 25-32. Not Ephesians chapter 2, we were there last week. Ephesians chapter 5. And I'm jumping all over the place in Ephesians. I'm not being a good expository person, but I get sidetracked. We've spoken the last few weeks on the body of Christ, ecclesia, what the ecclesia was. It wasn't just a religious meeting. It was actually like a town hall meeting. And it was used more as a almost a sending center into the communities. And I think the Lord's shifting the church into that mindset mode in the days ahead. I'm not going to speak on that this morning, though. But the ecclesia and the church, and we mentioned about being in Christ and who you are in Adam or in Christ. We've spoken on that several times. Just to recap, the body of Christ, I need you need me. And we had in Hebrews 11, where it was Moses, by faith he. When they came to the Red Sea, it shifted from he to they. By faith, they. And so all of us, when we come through something in life, you'll never do it to your meaningful part of the they. In other words, I'm not called to live life alone. Amen? Christianity, I'm not called to do it by myself. We spoke last week on how the middle wall of partition and the church. So we had the church as the body. We also had the church as the household of God. And we spoke about how we can often divide people, whether it be by race, gender you are, how old or young you are, what denomination you're from. And we learned that middle wall of partition wasn't just a word Paul threw out there. It's an actual, in the temple the Jews put up in that time, four-foot wall to keep Gentiles away from the Jews. So they wouldn't worship with them, and that was not something the Lord commanded. And we learned how we disqualify ourselves. We disqualify others and we disqualify ourselves, and God's called us to be a family, Jew nor Greek, male nor female, slave nor free. In that time, things were very, maybe like America today, very segmented. And the church broke that mold. Amen? The church broke the mold of culture, segregated, segmented. And we also spoke about Caesarea Philippi a few weeks ago. How the Lord took them there and said, on this rock I'll build my church in front of literally the gates of Hades is what they called it. And there's no culture, there's no place that the church should be afraid of. There's no part of the culture we're not called to. Amen? The body of Christ is not just meant for a church building. Amen? There's not a place that we're not called to. And so the purpose of the church, purpose of the body of Christ is that we're called to infiltrate, influence every part of our society. Amen. So let me read Ephesians 5, verse 25-32. And me, when I read stuff like this, there's a lot of different messages in this. I'm going to do it in two because the Lord just dropped something in my heart I'm going to share. And it won't be that long once I get going with that. But it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, his flesh and his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And I love this verse. It's one of the mysteries. This is a great mystery by speak concerning Christ and the church. So, the church is also, throughout Scripture, known as his bride. And there's, I'm going to go just sweep through it just a minute, but you can literally take that from Genesis to Revelation. Okay? Real quick, a couple things. Just stay with me for a minute, historical backdrop of that time. Jews, remember I mentioned the thing, Jews in that time, one of the prayers that a Jewish rabbi would have when this was written. I found it this week. I thank you, God, that I'm not a, obviously a male would pray it. I thank you that I'm not a Gentile, a slave, or a female. Pretty rough. So you can imagine the attitude that they had with the Jew, Roman, and Greek. It was easy. They used Deuteronomy 34:1 basically to divorce their wife at will. The more liberal ones would do it. And there's a story. I think a wife spoiled her husband's food, so that was caused to write a certificate of divorce. Greeks could divorce, men could divorce women like that. Women, the only thing the women got in return was they got their dowry in return. Roman culture was even worse. I think it was Seneca who said that. You got married to get divorced, and you got divorced to get married. And there's one story, if you read in the Roman culture where husband and wife were getting married, he was her 21st, no, it was her 23rd husband, and he was going to be her 21st wife. And so, the idea that we have actually in this country of marriage is Christ-centered, because we don't, that's not still as things, well, if you study the old things like in this time, in a lot of ways, things were actually really worse then. And women were put on such a low place that you can just get rid of them like that. The Lord always elevates that. Always elevates women. He elevates the idea of marriage. And one thing that we keep, and this is not my message, I'm just musing. Sanctity of marriage is important because it's a picture of Christ and His church. Amen?
Amen.
And I was listening to, I don't know if I should do this or not. I will. I was listening to Robbie Zacharias, familiar with him, and he was speaking, and he's really intelligent, really eloquent, so I'm going to butcher what he said. But he said he was speaking at a college campus one day, is what he does, and it's really hot in here, Andrew. Could you turn the AC on? he was speaking on a college campus, and there's a reporter there, and she said, I'm going to stay here for 5 minutes. And he was thinking, well, I have an hour and a half, and you're taking 5 minutes and saying what I said. But she stayed the whole time. She walked back and she said, you know, one issue I have is, she said, the church seems to be accepted of people of other races, but not of homosexual gay marriage. And he said, why is that? And he said, the church, and he's much more eloquent, he said, the church sees your race and your ethnicity as sacred. Okay? Your race from God, your culture, your heritage, where you're from, that's a sacred gift from God. But sexuality is as well. Right? It's a picture between Jesus, the church throughout Scripture. I'm not going to stay long on this. The church throughout Scripture is pictures of the woman. Jesus entered as the bridegroom. It's a picture of Christ in the church. And, you know, you can choose and determine. One thing God always gives us, and He always gives you in your life, just a principle for everything. He gives you, and He honors you to give you the freedom of choice. What He does not do is give you the honor and the privilege to determine the outcomes of your choices. And so if I choose something that's contrary to what He says, and I'm not honoring in a governmental way that He set up, I can't determine the dictates of my bad choice. Amen? That's like that for anything in life. That's not my message. I'm just musing, and maybe I shouldn't have done that. But let me go forward. I want to talk about the church as being the bride of Christ. Throughout Scripture, in Isaiah, Jeremiah, even Jeremiah says He'll give them a certificate of divorce. The Lord talks about Israel being His bride and His church. Human history, let me read this real quick. You don't have to turn there. I've got several scriptures. Don't turn. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, I'm just going to skip through these. God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman and brought her to man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Where do we just read that at? In Ephesians. It's also in Genesis. Let me give you a picture real quick. When Jesus was on the cross. A man shall leave his father, I think they said that our marriage, his father and his mother, and be joined to his wife. Jesus was on the cross. Father, why have you forsaken me? His earthly mother, woman, behold your son. And there, through his shed blood, he was joined and married to the church. It's mystery, union, brideship. When Jesus was sacrificed, what did they do? And they pierced his side. What came out? Blood and water. Three that bear witness. Blood, water, and the Spirit. I'm washed in the blood. I come into him through the blood. But we're also going to talk in here later on about washing in the water of the Word. Amen? What's the water speak of? Cleansing and washing. We spoke before. The blood makes us clean. The water keeps us clean. Amen? And so there's a union that happens. The Lord joins us to himself. And throughout Scripture, throughout Genesis and Revelation, let me read something in Revelation. You don't have to turn there. But it starts off in Scripture. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother, and two shall become one flesh. We see that in Ephesians. It's constantly talking about the bride. Let me ask you this. Where did Jesus do his first miracle?
At
a wedding. All right. In Matthew 22, he compares the kingdom of God to, let me turn there real quick. Matthew 22, you don't have to turn there with me. I have several verses. I used to put the verses up there, and we just don't have the time. But Matthew 22:2, it says, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, like a marriage. In Revelation chapter 21, and you know this, you should. He talks about the New Jerusalem. And he says it's adorned as the bride of as a bride for Christ, as the New Jerusalem being the bride of Christ. In verse 10 it says, and he carried me away in the Spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy New Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. And we learned previously that's the bride of Christ, having the glory of God. And her light was like the most precious stone, like jasper and silver and gold. So what did the bride of Christ have? You start off in Genesis. Looking for a bride. I'm just sweeping because I'm going through something else in a minute. Looking for a bride. Jesus comes. He's joined to his church. He starts his ministry at a wedding. He talks about the kingdom of heaven like a wedding, like a marriage, husband and wife. Ephesians, the church, is his bride. He's the groom. John calls him the friend of the bridegroom. Jesus is known as the friend of the bridegroom. We're the bride, husband and wife. Amen? And you're seeing that together. And then here, it says that he might present it as a glorious church. His bride as a glorious bride, right? What do we see in Revelation? The bride with glory. Amen? Spirit and the bride say, come. We also see that in Revelation. Jesus ascended. He left us with the Spirit. Where is bride? Spirit and the bride say, come. Amen? I'll have to go in that more, and I'm not. But I believe that Jesus is looking... And we've heard this a lot, a pure, just as he says in here, a pure, spotless bride, sanctified with the cleansing of the water of the Word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy without blemish. I think Peter sang the song, it's a glorious church without spot and wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And I'll maybe go into that more later, but let me just go into what I'm going to say. I hope you got some of that, because there's you could say more about it. One more thing. In that time, there's Eastern marriage and there's Western marriage. So what we do with marriage, I meet my wife. And funny story, we met a year before we actually met. And I knew I was going to marry her and she knew she was going to marry me. So God put us together. It's a love story. But what did we do at first? We dated. All right, my grandmother would call it courting. I like Nat King Cole. Anyone like Nat King Cole? Fats Waller. I like Benny Goodman. Louie, I like the old music. I like the big band. And my grandmother called and said, that's music to court by. So it's music to court by. So I'm an old soul, even though I'm not.
I like it too. So.
I love Nat King Cole. Yes. And I think we listened to Nat King Cole on the way to.
Oh, we had
to, yeah, so I forget the name of it, yeah. So anyways, court. I worked with a girl, and she's from India, when I was at hospice care in Norwich and Chaitra. And, she was an Indian, and I found out when I talked to her that she had an arranged marriage, and she was pretty much my age, maybe a little bit older. Like, no way, you had an arranged marriage. I didn't think they did that anymore. And her friend who was there in HR, she was an Indian as well, she had an arranged marriage. And so what they still do sometimes, what they especially did back then, in Eastern culture, it wasn't, we didn't have our courting period. You were shown to get married, and after you get married, then it's the get-to-know-you period, right? And then it's the, you have the marriage feast after that. And so you understand that context when you read this. When I'm born into everyone, I can know everything in the world about the Bible, but I don't know Jesus until I know Jesus, until I meet him, right? I can know everything, but until it's real, I don't really know him. And so all of us, when you're born into the kingdom of God, you enter by birth, okay? So when you're born, when Evan was born, we're just talking, I can't believe it's been 7 months, I believe. When he was born, the baby was born, he was messy, right? Anyone's ever been in that room? He was a mess. And so we were messy when we were born. And there comes a time when we're born into the kingdom, judicially speaking, husband and groom, but there's still a getting-to-know-you period we have with the Lord, amen? Just coming together at all, okay? I'm born into the kingdom, and then there's a getting-to-know-you period. Just like Evan, we come in with mess. What's the first thing they do? They make sure the vitals are okay, and they clean them off. The Lord takes care of us when we come into the kingdom, but there's still, if Evan stayed a baby for the rest of his life, we've got problems on our hands, amen? And there's some situations, in life where certain defects and people can stay as a child for most of their life, and there are issues with that. So we're expected to grow and mature and nourish. How does he do that? How does he cleanse us? One of the areas I kind of got in my heart, and the Lord, I was reading this, and he just dropped it in my spirit, the washing of the water of the Word. I'm going to read one more passage with for you, and then you don't have to turn there. But in Acts chapter 2, verse 40 through 42, and this was after the Spirit had moved, and Peter preached to them. And Peter saying, with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers. Let me say, the word for the word of God in Ephesians there is the word rhema. Kevin, I should get you to come up here and preach on rhema. There's the word rhema. Long story short, it's basically it's the spoken word. Okay? And you could look at it this way. I'll just simply, it's the spoken word. Let me just define it this way. Have you ever read a passage and you read it? And then you read it, and you really read it, and the Spirit shows you, and it becomes life-giving within you. So I read it. I had that recently. I had one last week. I read, and I was like, oh, wow. And it becomes a living, active thing in you. I'm going to get to Peter in a minute. The Word of God is meant to work inside of you, right?
Right.
All it is words on a page. When I was in college, I had to take an Old Testament survey class. And it was read as ancient literature. When I read it as literature, that's all it is. It's just ancient literature. But Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. And so if I'm not reading, and if I'm not finding Jesus, and it's not spirit in this life, the Lord intends to take it from just now Peter and John went up together to something that's alive within inside of you, that works inside of you. Let me read a passage really quick, then I'm going to get to Peter, and I'm going to get into what I want to say. It's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. And it says, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works where? In you who believe. The rhema word works effectively in you who believe. So in Acts chapter 2, when Peter, after they had the Spirit of God fell, what did Peter do? Spirit of God fell. People were speaking. They thought they were drunk. And Peter took them to the Word of God. Because I think he understood something. I'm called, all of us are called, we've talked about the kingdom of God for a long time, where the supernatural becomes natural in my life. Okay? But in order for that to be sustained, it has to be sustained through the Word of God working as well. Amen? Amen? What'd he do? What's going on? Oh, we had a wonderful meeting. What happened? I don't know, but we had a great meeting. He took them. But this was spoken by the prophet Joel. He took them to the scriptures. Then David, spirit and word, works together. Amen? I was listening to a guy this week, and actually listening to a sermon stirred me because we just kept it. And he said when he was starting out in ministry, his name's Tony Miller, and he said I was some well-meaning elders in his denomination, I guess, came to him and said, you know, Tony, you have to get stuff straight. Either you're going to be an evangelist type ministry, and you're not deep in the Word, but you see great things happening, and you just share testimonies and see great things, or else you're going to be a Word guy, and you're just going to give great sermons, and you're not going to see much. But he said, you can't have both. I can't believe it when I heard that, someone would say that. He said, that's bad advice.
Amen.
The Word and the Spirit should work together. Explain. Acts 2 was reformational. You had the Spirit moving so much that they thought they were drunk. And you also had Peter taking them to the Scriptures. Right? Word and Spirit. Washed in the water of the Word of God. What happened? It became real to them. Oh, I've read this verse for years. It's what prophet spoke by the prophet Joel. I'll pour my Spirit out in those days. And then they lived it. And then that, well, I saw about the rhema word. Oh, I'm living it. Right? Truth is really ours when we can live it and experience it. It becomes a rhema word within our heart and within our life. Amen?
Amen.
And it's true, and I'll just say this for all of us. Some people, one thing I try to really value, and my wife tries to value, is to have Word and Spirit. And it's true because there's some people, and you can put yourself in whatever category you want. All you care about is the Word. You want to come in. I had a lady come in here one time. She came to visit. And she came back again months later. And she said, I loved your sermon, but the worship just went on too long. And she was complaining to me about that. She wanted just the Word. You get other people. I remember my pastor dealt with this years ago. He had a worship team. They were great. They were good. After they finished worship, they go hang out in the kitchen. They didn't want the Word. They just went in the Spirit, but the Lord moved in that church mightily. But they wanted nothing to do with the Word. When he confirmed, they got offended and left. That's what happens. You put yourself in whatever category, but whatever you are, if you're all of us, I guess, tend to be, and myself included. And I say, you know, for example, I was more, just personally, man, I could just, I loved the Word. And then the Lord took me to Pinecrest, where I went to Bible school. I was like, all Spirit. And I developed such a love for the Spirit of God. Because you have to have both working in your life. If God calls us to be reformational people, to impact and influence our culture, see Acts 2 happen everywhere. I have to have the Spirit of God working in me, because if all I'm doing is just reading the Word, I'm never going to experience. They're all in one place seeking the Lord. I'm never going to experience that. But if all I have is that, well, what happened? Well, I don't know. I have to have the Word working too. It has to wash and cleanse me. Amen?
Amen.
This is practical, but it's needful. Amen? So let me just share a few things about this. You should have an appetite for both. If you don't, then that's between you and the Lord. And if there's areas even now, I say, Lord, I need, Lord, give me a hunger for worship, I'll pray. Lord, give me a desire for your Word. Give me, you know, Lord, I need to love you more than I do. Simple prayers I pray to the Lord. The foundation Let me say this. When the Word is formulated in your life, and the Word is working in your life, decisions will begin to be made on the Word of God and not necessarily your emotions and your feelings. Right? So, I don't feel like worshiping today. You ever said that? I'm not just talking about when you're in church. Get up in the morning. I don't want to worship. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And he wrote that from prison. I don't feel like giving. Give and that shall be given unto you. Alright? I'm not going to forgive that person. I'm going to make them wait 3 or 4 more days to show them what's what. I'm going to be offended at them. They offended me. You know, I was listening to, I always share Walter Buehler's stories, and he was sharing, he was a Bible teacher and evangelist, but he pastored for a short time in his life, early in his life. And he said he was at a church, and this lady just drove him up the wall, constantly critiquing him, writing notes to him before every service. This is what you should do. This is what you should do. And he said he went up to the Lord one day and said, Lord, would you take this woman out of my church? She's getting my goat. And he said, the Lord responded back, if you didn't have a goat to get, she wouldn't be getting it. In other words, there's not a spirit of offense already in me. It's not going to be easy to offend me, right?
Amen.
Spent months preaching on a kingdom culture and a kingdom lifestyle. Takes you back to the supernatural, but also takes you back to character. I don't feel like forgiving this person. Forgive as I have forgiven you. Amen? It speaks a lot about forgiveness in the Scriptures. If I go solely on how I think, feelings and emotions are good, if I make my decision based on that, and it's not grounded in here, I'm a mess. Just like if all is just heavy word and I can't go by the Spirit, then I'm a mess too. But you formulate your life, you live your life, you're cleansed and you're washed in the water of the Word. Lord, saturate me in your Word. We're doing, my wife's doing homeschool with Owen. This is immensely practical this morning. And we're doing memory verses every week for 33 weeks. 36. I said, I'm doing this too. Memorize the Scriptures, right? Just have the Word, the rhema Word within you. And so when God draws it up out of you, amen, and I can make it, and I can live based on His Word and not how I feel about the situation. Because my feelings can deceive me. All right, we're called to live above the norms and the culture. And it's easy to get into, I don't feel like doing this, I don't feel like doing that. I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that. And I'll take you back to the Word. And sometimes, there's a lot of times I don't feel like doing ministry at all, right? I don't feel, well, I'm not just talking about here, anywhere. Sometimes I don't feel like it. And I go back to the Word. Amen. Be in season, instant, be instant in season and out of season, right? It doesn't matter how I feel that day. Okay? We also spoke, even sometimes when we start to feel crumpled, and if I deal with, we spoke about this last week. I'm going to repeat some of last week. When I begin to feel inferiority, or I feel like I don't measure up, I don't feel this, I don't feel that. I think it was, I wrote this down. Eleanor Roosevelt had a quote. Hope it doesn't offend you that I quote Eleanor Roosevelt. It says, no one can ever make you feel inferior without your permission. Sometimes people live rent-free in your mind. You know what I mean when I say that? Constantly. No one can make you feel inferior without your permission. Who is the Lord said that you are? Ephesians. I can't speak on the book of Ephesians if I don't talk about being in Christ. 35 or 36 times, in Christ, in Him. All the different things. First chapter. Blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. That's you. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. That's you. Having predestined us, remember predestined, God speaks something to you, but your destiny is what you do with it because He partners with you. According to His good pleasure, to the praise of the glory of His grace, He's made you accepted. We've gone through so many different things. We're like the baby that comes out of the womb. We We wash ourselves. The water of his word. Who does he say that you are? Right?
Yeah.
Who is he speaking? What is he speaking over your life? We spoke to the blood of Jesus is stronger than my forefathers. Right? I'm not like my Uncle Barney. Remember I shared about him? Or my grandfather. Because I have a new nature. It's in Christ. Right? In Christ or I'm not. Either way. Go through scripture, you see. I'm in Christ. Amen? In Romans, I'm going to wind up in just a minute. In Romans chapter 7, it speaks. It says, therefore, let me read this. Give me just a second. For if the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives, but if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband lives, we're talking about marriage again, right? While her husband lives and she marries another man, she'll be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, that she's no longer an adulteress, and she's, even though she's married to another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, even to him, Jesus Christ, who is raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. You're no longer married to your past. Amen? We are his bride. Let me say this too. When it relates to people living rent-free in your mind, when Andrew and I got married, I was up here and she was walking down the aisle. She wasn't paying attention to everything that was going on. She was locked into her groom. There's a place in our life where we have to realize, Lord, I know who you've said that I am. And while I do need other people, this is individual today, there's a place also where we're walking down the aisle and we're just viewing our groom. He chose you, right?
Yeah.
I'm not marrying the girl sitting right there. Or I guess it would be the other way around. He chose you, and he's locked into you, right? And if we have that perspective and we have that understanding, it does away with the need to, well, I have to do this for this person, or I have to live this way for this person, I have to do this, I have to do this. I'm going to speak about this next time. You enter into a love relationship with your bridegroom, right? Husband and wife, marriage, locked in with him. I'm no longer married. That old man died, went to the cross, and now I'm free to marry another, right? Who are you married to? You married to him? If you're married to him, why does other stuff matter so much? Amen. I know it's easy for me to get up here and say this. There's narrow, that has to become rhema, you have to live it, because all of us struggle, and we live and we walk it. But if I at least know what this book says, instead of beating people over the head with things, and I say, you know what, I'm not going to beat you, I'm going to say who you are in Christ, not everything that you're not in your old way of life, but who has he said that you are? Amen?
Amen.
Let me finish with one thing. Let me say this too. When you take on, I have an example. Let's say someone, a husband and wife, get married, and the husband has a ton of money and the wife's broke, and you join accounts. The wife's going to be happy because she gets, her account goes up, right? I was listening to, there's an old Sid Roth interview. He was interviewing she was like a high priest in the Satanist, whatever. She dealt with rejection as a child, and she was looking for power, and she found it there. And she shared the story of how she came to Christ or whatever. And she said, Christians walk around with a heavenly bank account that's through the roof and they don't know it.
Amen.
Amen. This is from a high priest who operated in some power and said, I found more power with Christ. Let that resonate with you. Are we operating like we should as far as that goes? So I take on his name, Jesus. I'm married to him. I'm joined to him. Joiners with him. And he shares his bank account with me.
Amen.
Think about that. And I don't always have to go around saying, I don't have this, I don't have that, I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm not good enough to do this, I can't do that. Who is your groom's? He chose you, and who's he said you are? Right?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bob. It's the truth. And sometimes it's a mind, it's You have to shift our way of thinking, because for years we've been taught what we're not, and how we don't want to add up, and how we don't measure up. Like I said last week, if I stub my toe, what do we learn from the men like David and Peter in the Bible? They knew how to repent, right? Gives repentance. Stub my toe, repent, and I keep pressing forward to God and say, that's not who I am. Sin nature, it's not who I am. I repent, and I'm going to start living like who He's called me to be and who I am. Let me finish with one thing, and then I'll let you go. I'm a little bit longer than I want. They were devoted continually to living out every day that which they were being taught and instructed about. The Word of God should leave this page and go. Let me say this. Two things. They were instructed daily. That doesn't necessarily mean you have to be here daily, right? Hearing me or someone else. But you're around the Word. Let me encourage everyone. Very practical advice. Find someone in the Lord. Never just fill up with one person, right? When I say that, we know in part, we prophesy in part. I was thinking of Rhema and thinking of Brother Hagin. And one thing Brother Hagin would say is that God taught me, Kenneth Hagin, said God taught me to teach on faith. And so God gave him a portion, and he went out teaching that. How many of you know different ministries, and they emphasize, they have basically one general message that they emphasize, right? Okay. Have a wide, I'll share this with Brad. Have a wide buffet plate, right? Pull and choose from different people. Amen? When you're here, I told you that story where we were talking and Mike asked me a question about the Bible and I didn't like my answer. And Phil was around and said, Phil, I'd love to know what you think about this. The honor is, what do you have to say? Amen? I'm downstairs. What does this mean? Go ask Jim and Lisa. What does this mean? Go ask James over here. Do you know why? Because God's given us all a part. Right? A piece of the pie. And we should be daily filling ourselves with His Word. And so I read the Scriptures, but I also learn from others, right? What's one... Has, for whatever reason, if I was God, I wouldn't have done it this way. I would have controlled everybody. God chose to use us, right? Like it or not, He chose to use each and every one of us. That means each and every person in here, I don't care if you've been saved a year or 20, you have something to give. God's shown you something in the Scriptures, right? You've lived something that I haven't lived. You've seen something I haven't seen. You've done something. That gets you back to the bride, gets you back to the body of Christ. Sandra's come up to me after a service and shared things. It's been twice. She's like, oh, I had that in my notes. I didn't say it. Because why? It's something to give, something to offer. All of us have that, amen? And you feel yourselves, and they also are committed to doing what it said. I've mentioned this, but I'm closing with this. Our kids have Seed Family Worship, and it's this super annoying song. Do what it says, just do it. And it's these kids and they sing Bible verses. It's a great way to learn Scripture, but it drives me up the wall. All that Jesus began both to do and to teach. I can teach it. I can come up here and teach this stuff. But at the end of the day, I have to put this to practice in my own life. I have to have something in me. And it happens all the time now. Wife says, I can teach it, but I also have to do it. God's heart for you is not to be a person who just does and has no idea what you're doing. It leads to error. He's not someone who wants you just to teach and never do, or else you're just a Pharisee. And you can argue with people. Take your Scripture, I'm right, you're wrong. He wants someone who can do and teach. Rhema word. It goes from being an ancient literature and it goes to being an active living reality in my heart and in my life. Amen. Be washed with the water of the Word. I got stuck on that, but it deals with the bride of Christ. If God wants us to be the Spirit and the bride, say come. It's important to understand the purposes of God in the earth. If God's looking for people to be a mature bride that He wants, it's important to know some of the tools that He gives us to do it. I don't want to be the dirty baby my whole life. I want to be cleansed. If we never give Evan a bath, he's going to be stinking too, right? Cleansed by the blood once and for all. I'm daily cleansed, the washing of the water, right? So I go out and I get dirty and I come in. Lord, I'm going to turn to Psalms. Just pray the Psalms. Lord, what are you speaking? Lord, wash over me with your word. Lord, you did something great in my life. Walter Butler, one last story and I'm done. The Lord gave him some phenomenal things. And he says, Lord, after you give me these phenomenal experiences, show it to me in the scriptures. We will be a people who do, and a people who hear, and a people who have the word of God, as Thessalonians says, actively working in our hearts and our lives, so we can be the bride that he talks about from Genesis to Revelation, that's worthy of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Father, I thank you for this people. Lord, I thank you for this house. Lord, I thank you for the giftings and the anointings that are in here. Lord, I thank you that this word stays in the hearts that need it, Father. Lord, we honor you this morning, God. Lord, that we would be a supernatural people, Lord, and that a supernatural lifestyle sustained, Lord, through who you are and from your word, God. Jesus, we love you this morning. We honor you. We thank you. We bless you and we love you. And we give our hearts and our lives new and afresh, Father. We just worship you this morning. We thank you for who you are and we love you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. 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 You guys be blessed. For the visitors, we have snacks downstairs, so come down. We want to hang out with you guys for a little bit.